This is 90.9 WBUR in Boston. I'm Lisa Mullins. It's a big day today for Amy Finkelstein. The 44-year-old economics professor at MIT has been named a MacArthur Fellow, a prestigious award from the MacArthur Foundation. It's often referred to as a genius grant. The award is $625,000, which Finkelstein and the other 24 winners can spend as they please. Amy Finkelstein was, as usual, hard at work today when we called her up. We started off with congratulations.
Thank you so much. I'm overwhelmed.
Do you feel smarter, though?
I feel humbler.
You feel humbler? I don't know. I think you're supposed to, bask in the glory of this designation of being a genius, even though I know they don't call it a genius grant. So I wonder, Amy, who the first person is you called when you found out?
Well, I actually found out a month ago, and they keep it secret, and they say you can only tell one person. Which was hard for me because I have two parents, so I told my husband.
And are your parents still talking to you?
Yeah, I think they found out today, and they were pretty excited.
Well, you're honest, if nothing else. when I look at what you won for, I know you won for the work that you've done in the field you work in, but you're called a health economist who's formulating robust empirical methods to illuminate the hidden complexities of healthcare policy and provide data-driven guidance for future innovations in theory and practice. In case listeners don't have time to parse all of that out, is that a kind of a fancy way of saying that you see what's working in healthcare policy and what's not and what could be done to make it better?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the key theme of my research, and I think of a lot of health economists and a lot of economists more generally, is trying to bring informed, rigorous evidence to bear on important policy questions. So my work is in health economics, and we hear a lot about the U.S. healthcare system. And my goal and the goal of the research I do with my collaborators is to try to actually provide rigorous scientific evidence so we can have a more informed discussion.
You mean scientific evidence is not used to formulate policy?
Oh, sometimes it is, but sometimes it's not. And one can hear all kinds of things talked about that, when we actually look deep into the research, don't seem to be true. On the other hand, we find, as you said, we were able through our research to find examples of how we can improve healthcare delivery, how we can cut spending without harming patient outcomes or improve patient outcomes. And so my goal is to sort of reduce the amount of rhetoric in healthcare policy discussion and increase the amount of evidence.
And how did you do that, for instance, with Obamacare? Because you and the team you work with there had some controversial conclusions about Obamacare.
Yeah, so we were extremely fortunate to be able to take advantage of a randomized evaluation. The state of Oregon had a limited number of Medicaid slots to offer, and they decided to expand using random assignment. So they literally ran a lottery, and this provided an unusual opportunity to bring the rigors of randomized evaluations, you know, the gold standard of medical and scientific research, to bear on an important public policy question, namely, what would happen if we expand Medicaid coverage to low-income uninsured individuals. And I think our results, you know, which is almost always the case when you do research, there was something in it to upset everyone, right? So you hear claims for people who are very against expanding Medicaid that Medicaid is worthless because, you know, Medicaid is such poor coverage. It offers low reimbursement rates to providers, so no one's going to be able to get in to see a doctor, so there's no point in expanding coverage. So that's, you know, the claims on the right. And the claims on the left you hear is that we don't face hard choices, that we can expand health insurance coverage and make people better off and save money at the same time, because when we expand coverage, we'll get people out of the expense emergency room where they are required by law to be seen and into cheaper and more effective primary care. And what our research showed from this randomized evaluation is that neither of these extreme claims are true. The idea that Medicaid is worthless is something we categorically reject in the data. On the other hand, the view that we don't face hard choices in our public policy because we can both cover people with insurance and save money at the same time, we also reject that. Medicaid increases healthcare spending, and it increases healthcare use across the board.
So when you come to a conclusion like that, is there an expectation that the data will then drive further healthcare policy, or that politics will?
I think the only thing I can do as a scientist and a researcher is to put information out there and hope that it contributes to more informed discussion.
Do you find that's the case?
Yeah, I hope so.
What are you going to do with your winnings, Amy?
I mean, as my co-author said when he found out about the award, this is great for our research money. So we're hoping to use it to take some more risks with our research in a way that's harder to do when you need to get grant funding for projects.
Congratulations, Amy Finkelstein. Just been named a MacArthur Fellow, also known as MacArthur Genius Grant Fellow, for her work in healthcare policy. She's an economics professor at MIT. Thanks again, Amy. Good luck.
Thank you so much.